Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Welcome, welcome, my wonderful, wonderful audience. I'm really not kidding when I say that it's such an honor each week to be with you and to talk with you and to share almost always a guest and a really good guest. And this is Dr. Peter Breggin, of course, and I'm a psychiatrist. This is Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves. So we do both the refounding of America and the reclaiming of ourselves, and so does our guest today, who is going to be a very, I think, uplifting, enlightening. It's going to be really interesting to talk today, and I think it's going to be, you know, more uplifting than usual. Sometimes we talk about stuff, then we don't know quite how to get out of it, you know, but this man really knows how to get out of it. And of course, we're on Brighty on TV, and we're covered for our shows on brightyon.com, and you can see it on Roku and hear it on prn.live. Well, this is Dr. Peter Breggin again, and you're looking at Pastor Craig Hagen. We have never met or worked together, but he is no stranger to our group, to the Freedom Group, the Broad Freedom Group. I don't know how much you've been involved with the particular healthcare, the Freedom Healthcare Group, folks, and we can talk about that some more. But he really puts together fighting for freedom and democracy with a passion and love for God. And we need this pretty much more than we need anything right now. And that led him to host the very first Reawaken America conference. That's just a wonderful thing that you did. And I was on the phone with him, with Clay Clark, just 15 minutes ago, talking with him. It's a really wonderful thing that you were willing to take the risk of having a people at your church. Every place else apparently was closed down at the time. I think you're the third generation
third generation. Third generation minister.
At the Rema? Rema. I practiced it five times, folks, before. But. Rema.
It's okay. You can say Rema. I'm okay with it.
Whatever. Bible Church and his granddad, Kenneth Hagen Ministries, and the Rema Bible Training College. And it says here in caps, will never under any circumstances close. I love that, for any pandemic restrictions. And we'll see if you get tested more and more with an increasing totalitarian society. I hope not. He's saying he's really serious that he's not going to close down. And he wants to help us. It's really interesting what you've said. You want to help us learn how to be free of pandemic restrictions. It's going to be really interesting. And how we can fight back against government overreach. Things everybody probably listening to this show is interested in, and how they can be free from fear of messing up in life. Now that's my specialty. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a psychiatrist who doesn't do drugs. I think I may be the only one alive.
Probably
in the
only one in America.
Right now. No one else is that I know of, but I've been working so much with the freedom movement. I'm really not being the conscience of psychiatry right now. And also how people can develop their own loving relationship with the Heavenly Father. All of these things, Ginger and I deeply believe. Now, you have a book out with an amazing title.
Yeah, called Don't Be Stupid.
Yeah, go ahead. You say the whole title. You'll get it better than I do.
I mean, I have a book called Don't Be Stupid. And actually, it's talking about the prodigal son. You know, and we talked about the prodigal son actually made some – he didn't plan on just ending up in a pig pen. But he made some stupid decisions to get him into what we call a stupid place. But then, you know, the love of the father, he found out that the father loves him when you, you know, so he came back to the father and said, I just want to be your servant. But the father says, no, you're always going to be my son. And so, and basically in life, we make stupid decisions. And I found out, we have a prison ministry and I found out that my book is very popular in the prisons because they've made stupid mistakes. But you know what? You know, I think that we're on the same page. No matter what you've done in life, God still loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to see you, help you through whatever situation you're going through. And I think that's my heart, is we serve a loving God, and I think it's important to know that.
Yeah, we actually think about that every day of our lives. We've always been devoted for some reason for taking on what looks like the most dangerous person or dangerous agency in the area we're working in, because we've been together 40 years doing that. And even before then, Ginger was for about 20 years going back to high school, and I was for about 30 years going back to college doing that. And it was always like, why isn't anybody else doing it? And I guess I'm intended to do it. And it's a very odd way to think, especially when, in Ginger's case, you're 12, and in my case, you're 19 or 18 or whatever it was. It is the way to live. I mean, it is absolutely, once you have a sense that you're here serving someone, I don't pretend to understand what God is or what visually it would be like to be with him. Other people have had visual experiences of being with God. So I'm just really glad to welcome you to the show. Now, you sent ahead a film. It's only a minute and a half, and you said you didn't know what it was exactly. So we told you, and you said, well, it's an ad for the college. I'm happy to have an ad for the college right now if you'd like us to put it on.
Sure, let's go ahead and play it. We have Rhema Bible Training College, and it's been around for 49 years now. Some people call us the Harvard of Bible Schools. And whether you feel called to the ministry or you want to learn more about the Bible, it's a great place. And so we can go ahead and run that ad if you want to.
Yeah, let's do it.
We are Rhema.
You've dreamed of following God's plan for your life. You know that following God's destiny leads to a life of purpose and fulfillment, but you're wondering how you're going to get there. You don't want to struggle or get tossed around trying to figure it out. Where can you learn more about the Bible, God, and His plan for you? How do you experience that life of victory and blessing? The teachers and ministers at Rhema Bible Training College know what it's like to want to know God better and prepare for His plan. They've been in your shoes. They've helped more than 85,000 men and women just like you understand and prepare for God's plan for their lives. Now those men and women are pastors, children's and youth workers, worship leaders, missionaries, and successful business people. Some graduates travel the world preaching the gospel. Others are raising families and helping their local churches touch their communities. Rhema has a 2, 3, and 4-year programs which include college credits to help ground you in God's Word and equip you to accomplish His plan. Apply now at rbtc.org. rbtc.org.
Rhema is you.
You'll join a network of graduates in over 50 nations who are making a difference in the world. Apply now or attend one of our college weekend events. Choose to experience God's plan and live a life that makes a difference in the world. Apply today at rbtc.org. And if you have any questions, call us at 918-258-1588, extension 2379.
We are Rhema.
Again, call us at 918-258-1588, extension 2379.
Amen. Actually, that's a few years old. Now we have over 111,000 Rhema graduates all around the world at 282 campuses. And I think we're in 52 nations now. So it's exciting. You know,
it's wonderful.
There's a lot of woke colleges now, and you know, people are going to college and they're really messing themselves up. I mean, you know, their theology, the way they see life is just, you know, crazy. And at Rhema, we teach a biblical base. I mean, everything's about the Word of God, how much God loves us. And there's a lot of people that they believe that they've just messed up in life. But I'm going to tell you what, no matter what you've ever done, God loves you, and you're going to get through this. My favorite scripture is Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or in other words, in God we trust. And you know what? If you can't trust anybody else, you can trust in God. I mean, you know, He will help you.
We were talking earlier, I don't know how many people watching today know I'm Jewish, Ginger's Christian, but one of my very favorite parts of the New Testament is, I think Jesus is asked, what are the real commandments or something like that, and yeah. He says, to love God and love one another as I love you, and I think that's a really good way to live.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, and you know, a lot of Christians I talk to, they say they have trouble with their love walk. And my point is, if you have trouble with your love walk, you have trouble with your Christ walk, because Jesus, says, basically, there's two commandments that He gives us with love one another and love God. Well, if you're taking a test and there's only two questions and you miss one question, you're flunking. The Bible also says in 1 John is that if you can't love people you can see, how can you love a God that you cannot see? And I believe the way that we as Christians can show forth, the Bible talks about how the love of God shed abroad in our heart. And, the way we share is like a true Christian loves one another and loves people. You know, there are people who do things that morally I don't agree with, but I don't hate them. I love them and want to see them do better. And people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think there's a lot of hurting people, especially now during the pandemic. And I know in your book, you talk about fear. I mean, I think our pandemic was really fear. It's all about, they tried to bring forth fear. And the Bible's pretty clear in the Old Testament, New Testament. It talks about the fear not. Every time an angelic being came, the first thing out of his mouth was fear not. And, when you know God, you shouldn't have to fear anything, especially a pandemic, because we have plenty of scriptures that talks about that God is our healer. Going back to the 91st Psalm and then the New Testament, it says that Jesus took the stripes on his back and by his stripes we were healed. And so, and we are going to have other pandemics. I mean, you know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And like I said, I've told the church, we're never going to shut down. We're going to stay open. If you're afraid to come to church, we will be online, but we're not going to close our doors. And because of myself and other people in the state of Oklahoma, our legislature passed a law that just, basically affirming the First Amendment, saying that they say the government has no right to tell a church how to have church, when to have church, how many people to have a church, and any kind of precautions. And so that's a state law in the state of Oklahoma now.
Oh, I've not heard that. That should be promoted more. I suspect a lot of people have not heard that. Is that true? Or that people
probably the powers that be don't want to get that out. But if you live in Oklahoma, I mean, it was on the news when it happened.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
And so it was a big thing. I'm very involved in the political. I'm a Republican, very involved in County. I'm here in Tulsa County. Tulsa County politics. I'm my precinct chairman of my precinct. Uh-huh. I'm involved in Oklahoma politics. My wife actually works for the Tulsa County Elected Board. She actually is there at the precinct, making sure that our votes count. There's no funny business going on. And I will go on record. I helped my wife actually set the voting machine up the last two elections. So I know how that thing works. And I don't know about early voting and all the other voting, but I know that machine. And I mean, you can do stuff, but you would have to have a lot of tools and a lot of stuff, or it would have to be manipulated before it got to the precinct. Because if I'm going to mess with that card, they're going to know it. We know there's plenty of business going on in the election. I do think we have in Oklahoma, I think we have some issues with our early voting and some of those things, but at least day of voting seems to be pretty secure. Really, I have found out through this pandemic, it's very important for us, I'm a conservative Christian, and I believe, you know, what happened is we've taken God out of politics, and now look what we have left over. But when you think in politics, I was only thinking like, you know, Washington, D.C., our state capital, Oklahoma City, in my case. But, you know, I forget, you know, you don't think about the city council, how much power they have, and school boards. You know, I never thought that was a big deal, but it is a really big deal. Also, you know, not only that they have a lot of control, they control a lot, billions of dollars, this, it's crazy. And we need to get more men and women that love God, love this country, and, you know what they're doing. So I know people love God and love the country, but they don't know what they're doing. And I that's actually one of my goals is to find men and women, to run for office, city, state, federal. I actually started a federal super PAC called PreserveUSA.org. So I'm involved in a lot of things. But government overreach you realize that this country was founded on freedom of religion and being able to worship as we please. When you read the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, all those things were given to us. But, you know, it's really sad what I've been told. So, Craig, it doesn't matter if it's constitutional. It does matter if it's constitutional.
It does matter.
It matters to me. But I've been told it doesn't matter, and that bothers me, So there's two things that my grandfather taught me. Number one, we should be praying for this country. And number two, we should vote. He always said, if you don't vote, then you can't gripe. But the other side about it, we always figured that our votes would count. And we didn't figure that there was going to be I call it a plandemic. I don't even like to call it a pandemic because, and I know, and I think most of the world knows that there's some funny business going on here. And, but it's going to happen again. I'm going to do what I can to not only myself stop governor overreach, but we also have 2,500 churches pastored by our Rhema graduates. And so, worldwide, actually we have over 3,000, I think, worldwide. And, what we don't sometimes think about is it's actually affected our European countries and our South American countries, even more, some of the African countries, they didn't get affected at all because they don't have access to some of the things that we have access to. So they didn't. Plus, someone told me, because you realize, I was just told by someone who lives in Africa, that we take hydrochloroquine every year for malaria and all kinds of stuff like that. It's like normal thing. And so they didn't see some of the stuff that we saw, it's pretty amazing. And, on a worldwide scale, I usually travel quite a bit to our overseas campuses. I know I haven't been able to travel in 2 years. They just now started to reopen some of these things, being unvaccinated, obviously. And so it's really affected. They really affect us to being able to reach out and personally go. Mm-hmm. But we've also, it's interesting. I think what's been really kind of cool is you can use technology now even more because people are used to it. So, before they might not tune into a Skype or a Zoom or all these kind of things, but now it's like a normal thing. And so I was able to preach. I actually did a big convention in Nigeria during the pandemic, and people's lives were changed. So it's pretty awesome.
That's wonderful. Well, the data is really continuing to build up that wherever Hydroxychloroquine was free and available, quite cheap, and anybody could get it because they were used to it, you know, for malaria, that the rates of death begin to disappear. And also ivermectin, because it's used as a parasite treatment, and I mean, it's such a successful drug and safe drug. The man who invented it got the Nobel Prize for it. I mean, he's a
big deal.
These are big deals. And I'm an expert on adverse drug effects. I've testified in innumerable trials about them, how they harm people. And ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine have just about the cleanest safety profiles I've ever seen. And I've actually seen that stated in the major textbook. Goodman Gilman, one of the major textbook, talks about the astonishing safety of hydroxychloroquine. Unless you overdose people when it becomes unsafe, and they actually talk about evil, they actually did studies overdosing people that we talk about in the book. Thank you for mentioning our book. I always often forget to bring it up, and then Ginger reminds me to bring up the book. We are still selling the book. It is still going out, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We Are the Prey. You can get it directly from us, the book, by going to wearetheprey.com. And you can get the book and also the ebook and the audiobook by going onto Amazon and other places. And I don't mention this enough. To follow our work, the best way is to go to Bregan.com and get our Bregan alerts, our Bregan alerts on Bregan.com. Well, this has been really interesting to hear what you're saying and talking about. We have about 2.5 minutes left. Do you have something in particular? If not, I would love to hear you talk more about what it was like standing up to the government before you got the legislature to protect you.
Okay, I'll talk about that. Well, you know, I do thank God that we live in a red state like Oklahoma. We actually are in a suburb of Tulsa called Broken Arrow. Tulsa had a mask mandate. They were pushing the vaccine and everything else. Broken Arrow, I have a great relationship with the city council, and we never had a mask mandate. We didn't push the vaccine. We don't talk to them. In fact, it got to a point, we had one mayor that felt every 3 weeks he had to talk about it. He got voted out. The new mayor came in, which I'm really good friends with. I'm really good friends with all the other mayor too. And she goes, "We're not even going to talk about it. We're not talking about vaccines. We're not talking about masks, you know, she goes, "I'm going to believe in medical freedom. You guys, whatever you think, we're not closing our city down." We also, something I should say, because it's coming up, we actually have one of the largest Christmas displays in the nation. We have over 2 million Christmas lights on campus. And so the biggest deal was during this pandemic, you know, I was getting inundated with, "What is your COVID restrictions?" I said, "Well, first of all, there's no restrictions in our city. So we have no COVID restrictions." And I got daily emails telling me where I'm killing people and whatever. And I probably, as a pastor, shouldn't even answer some of these daily emails. But my point was, you don't have to come and see our Christmas lights. But if you want to see our Christmas lights, they are awesome. If you'll just, you can go to YouTube and just say "Random Christmas Lights" and you'll pull up, things. It's an incredible display, free display, and basically we believe that Jesus is the light of the world, and Christmas is a great time to show forth that. And it's something we've done for 40 something years now. And it started out 80,000 Christmas lights. Now we actually have over 3 million lights. We found out though that it's hard to put all 3 million up on campus. So there's like 2 million that we actually have out with the new LED lights. You don't need as much lights to really light the place up. But I will say, I took it on the chin. A lot of people were mad at me.
Yeah.
And when I agreed, Clay Clark is one of my good friends that hosts that. I mean, we took it pretty hard.
Pastor, we're going to run over now. And loving hearing you talk. But I didn't tell you. This is 2 segments, and we'll take a break now and be back soon and just continue where we are. Well, we are back. with just this wonderful Pastor Craig, and just really, really glad to have you here. Folks, good energy. I have to be addressing 1,000 people to get that energy, or imagining it in my head. My style at age 86 is now a bit more relaxed. I love your energy. And I just want to just let you keep talking about the stuff that you were saying. I just heard secretly from him that since I didn't tell him, I was so interested in talking to him, I didn't tell him it was 2 segments, and he thought he was finished, but he is not.
It's no problem. I have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the first Reawaken America tour, because many people don't know a whole lot about how the whole thing happened. If you most of you probably don't know what Clay Clark really does. Clay Clark is a business coach, and he helps businesses all around America. And these businesses were saying, no matter what kind of things you tell me to do, if I'm closed down, it doesn't work. And so, Clay was like, he went on and thinks we have to get America open. And so he started doing a dig about, this pandemic and all this kind of stuff. And then he reached out to me. He says, Craig, you realize that even afterwards, most churches did not reopen. It was like, okay, I guess it started March of 2020. I guess it started by September of 2020. Only 1/3 of the churches in America were open. And of those 1/3 of the churches, they only had about 1/3 of their congregation there. And he says, Craig, we need to get churches open, back in America. And so we kind of started, that was September of 2020. We talked about it. We actually had a little rally at his office, and we invited Sean Foyt. And we had 3 doctors and 3 pastors and Sean Foyt. And we talked about how important it was to reopen America. And then it kind of, we cut by meeting this person and that person and got to know General Flynn. And General Flynn wanted to come and talk. And, Clay's like, we're going to have at least 1,000 people. I can't hold 1,000 people at my office. Do you think we can have something at Rhema? And I said, fine. We have an auditorium that seats about 1,000 people. That's fine. We'll go there. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we ended up almost 5,000 people in our big auditorium. And we had, Mike Lindell, General Flynn, and basically all kinds of people that, I hadn't met by General Flynn was the only one that I really knew at the time. And, they're like, they asked me, do we have any restrictions? I'm like, no, say what you want to say, And really, we as far as what I've been told, we were the biggest, biggest convention in 2021, over 7 million people streamed the event. Wow. It was incredible, and basically the whole point was, we originally called it the Health and Freedom Conference, but really the whole point was a Wake Up America, that this stuff is, there's a lot of stuff going on. We talked everything from child sex trafficking. In fact, if you go to every event I've gone to, a lot of them, I haven't the last one you were at, and I wasn't there. My event, we talked about a lot of things, the pandemic, child sex trafficking, some of the, crazy things. And, I had no rules, because, I want the truth to get out there. And I think it's important, the Bible talks about, you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. And, my grandfather was really put it in me a long time ago. The Bible says to not to forsake your assembling yourself together, or come together and worship God, together. Now, obviously this is way before there's any kind of internet, churches or whatever. And now our church, we're online every week. We have Rhema.tv, our own internet television station. The reason we do is because they can't kick us off the air. Well, I guess, it would be harder to kick us off the air. And because we have campuses all over the world, we have 2,500 people that watch us every week. So, we have been streaming, but mainly because they couldn't get here, not because they're in town across the street. And We do believe that we have a right, and we don't believe, we know. According to the Constitution, we have a right, you know, to worship God the way we please, with no restrictions. And I'm, because of my involvement and other people's involvement in the state of Oklahoma, we were able to pass that. And that's really big. But, you know, my deal is I know there's going to be more pandemics happen, and I want to help other people to be able to stand up and stand strong. And, you know, because I think that there, you know, my father has talked to me a number of times. He says, you know, if it gets to a point, and I'm, you know, my father is still the pastor. He's 83. He's still the senior pastor. Me and him kind of co-pastor, but he's still listed as the pastor. And he said a lot of times, if they tell me I can't preach the word, I'm still preaching the word, because, you know, I have to. If they put me in prison, I'm still preaching the word. I mean, so that's my commitment. That's always been my commitment, that I'm going to preach the word, and whatever they're going to try to do, that's, you know, that they're going to. I mean, actually, when Clay first talked to me, he says, Craig, you know that, you know, if they have concentration camps, we're the first people going to go in because we're leading the charge. I'm like, okay, I'm willing to. I'm not going to stop. You know, I'm committed, and I think more pastors should be committed to the Lord and not committed to Hollywood and, you know, just get them. You know, there's a lot of pastors that are more. They just want to have a Hollywood church and they want to have more followers and this and that and everything else. We want to preach the gospel, you know, and you know, like you guys. My grandfather has a book called Love, the Way to Victory, and love is one of the things that I preach on quite a bit. And it's interesting because we talk. I mean, I think that we have that same kind of talk about, you know, love is important, and I think it's important for, you know, when I walk in a room, most of the time people don't have to, you know, like I said, you feel the energy. I mean, you know, you can feel the love of God, you know, because every time I walk in the room. You know, I got the love of God on the inside of me. The Bible says it's shed abroad in my heart. And when I walk in the room, I fill the room up with love. And I'm always in a, you know, people say, well, Craig, you're always in a good mood. Well, how can you not be in a good mood? I got the greater one on the inside of me. So, you know, I'm sure you met Dave Scarlett, his Glory Ministries there. He travels on the tour with us. And he goes, Craig, every time you're always happy, you're always joyful, you just make me smile. And I'm like, you know, I think that's just something. I that's just my personality. I have, now I get it. We all go through stuff, but you know what? No matter what, my God is faithful, and He's going to see me through each and everything I'm going through. And you know, the other day I had a lady was talking about all the different things going on in life, and I said, you know, I get it. You know, life happens. I said, but you know what? You just got to just trust God, because what happens is we start getting in fear. Like you talk about, we get in fear, and then we get in so much fear, we can't even think properly. We can't even, you know, I mean, she was in so much fear about all the stuff. And I get it. We are going through, you know, our economy is not good. We kind of maybe know some reasons why, but the deal is, the Bible says that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And, you know, and that's what I believe. You know, if my needs get higher, then my God will supply those, you know. So I have a great outlook on life because I have a great God.
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I love hearing you talk. It's a it's a great pleasure. Golly, I have all kinds of different thoughts going through my head. If I can ever help your ministry in any way convince parents not to put their children on drugs, let me know, because that's one thing I've done with a number of different churches and Christian radio programs and shows, because somehow parents think it's medical and they don't realize they're giving up responsibility for figuring out how to better love their children, better raise their kids. They think that there's a medical diagnosis, ADHD, when it's actually just a drug company slogan to get people to put their kids on drugs. And it actually puts children out of touch with their own spirit, with their own soul. It gets in the way of the energy of the human being, and
it changes the way they are. I mean, I've done yeah. a, I, I've I've been involved. I've been a youth minister for a long time. And so I've talked to some of these parents and some of these kids, and they're not the same. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't want to call them a zombie, but it's almost like, you know, their true personality doesn't come out.
And that's right. And that makes it so much easier to teach them in the classroom, but they're not learning. And yeah. Make them copy things off the board, because it actually causes OCD. The drugs actually cause a compulsive disorder. So the kids will do their compulsive things they're asked to do, but they're not learning anything. But I don't imagine you would even need my services in this regard, because you've got all the doctor stuff down pretty well. That's really great.
Yeah.
How far back do you and Clay go, and how did you get to meet him? He's a businessman. Is that how you met him? Or
yeah, so a number of our Raymond graduates are businessmen and women, and it just seems that a number of my good friends went to Clay, and he was helping them, helping them in their business, and making it grow. And they kept on telling me that, Craig, you need to meet, you know, my friend Clay and all this stuff. And then Clay actually reached out to me. My grandfather has a book called The Believer's Authority. And Clay got a hold of The Believer's Authority. The Bible talks about that us as believers, we do have some authority, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers from on high. And so he wanted to meet me. And I need to meet Clay, because Clay actually he's my business coach. He's helped our college, and I've been working with him 2 years, and we're up like 35% in enrollment now.
Wow.
And actually Clay actually helped me, because, we do not have online courses. We've talked about having online courses, and, you know, Clay goes, no, you shouldn't have online courses. And I'm like, well, but everybody else does. But he's saying, he said, right now, and it's been proven through the pandemic, it's hard to really learn online, especially trying to train for the ministry. There's something about being there. I mean, there's so many he says like this. He said, so let's say I'm at home, I got my wife running the vacuum cleaner, my kids are griping and things. Then I have my phone and I have Facebook and I have all these, things. I mean, it's not a really good learning environment. Now, my grandfather, now some people come to Raymond learn more.
Hi, Heather. We have lost him. We've lost the pastor. I think I can be heard. Hi, folks. We've had technical difficulties, not involving me. Thank goodness you've over there involved me. I love listening to genuinely Christian, God-loving people. There's, whether you're a Jew or a Christian, there is this so much love in especially American Christianity. I don't know the rest of the world. There's so much love, and Christianity right now, as it was during our Civil War, not our Civil War, but our War of Independence, wasn't really a revolution. It was a War of Independence. That the Christian revival at that time meant a huge difference to what happened and the ministers were very, very key in the getting the folks, you know, to stand up for freedom. And it can't be exaggerated, the role of the belief in God. Over my shoulder is a painting of George Washington kneeling in the snow, and his white horse is behind him, and he's praying. And I wrote a little book called "Wow, I'm an American," which a lot of people might enjoy. Actually, I wrote it, a few years before COVID, and I learned in researching "Wow, I'm an American" that how much the progressive historians had laughed at the idea that George Washington would go out in the snow and pray. And they actually didn't believe that the founders believed in God, that they were just making it up. And they certainly didn't think Ben Franklin did, but he said he did. And Jefferson thought that God was going to, you know, an angry God was going to take these guys out because of slavery. You know, he was afraid that the slaves would have God on their side. So, I mean, God was a very significant in their thinking and very, very important in George Washington, who felt there was no way he could have escaped from a number of his battles. He got his people across the river, I think it might have been the East River or the Hudson River, East River, I think, from Long Island onto the heights across the way. And when he was surrounded, and he did it because a fog came in, very, very heavy fog. And I can tell you that Ginger and I, we have, you know, we've had every threat and taken against us over the years, and even a very significant attempt on our family's lives. And we feel that there's something about our way we are working in life and trying to stay in touch with what God wants us to do with our unique abilities. We all have unique abilities. And one of our unique abilities seems to be the willingness to stand up to bullies and oppressors. And we feel we've had this kind of been held in God's arms doing this. It's very hard to say this because there are so many good people who seem to, you know, really get hurt badly by doing the work we've done over the years. People get killed, they lose all their money. So I can't explain that, but I can explain the feeling that so many of us have, that when we do the right thing, we experience the best life we can. So that's some important ideas that I don't often share, maybe for fear of losing some of my audience, which is kind of a stupid thing to fear, because that's not what I generally do. I try to tell the truth. But when it gets more personal, I guess it gets a little more difficult. But I'm Jewish, Ginger's Christian. We both agree with the whole approach. And it's so interesting that the pastor and I share a love of the same two principles, when Jesus was asked what the principles are, and he said, love God and love one another. And I just think that's the basis. And then from there, you can figure out, you know, what is my function? What are my skills? What level of courage do I have in different areas of life? And how do I want to move ahead with living a good life, a beautiful life? And a life where I think that I'm doing what God has asked me to do or what God wants me to do. I had one experience with God that I've never talked about, I don't think, in a public forum before. I'm inspired by the pastor. And it was a time when I felt like I was no longer having much effect in my reform work in psychiatry. It was within the first few years that I was with the Ginger. And I was at a conference, and I was showering at the time. been thinking, God, another conference, I'm going to talk to people, but, you know, what is really going to come of it? We're not affecting psychiatry, we're not affecting the pharmaceutical industry. And I'm telling people, I think, for the first time, and I felt a hand on my shoulder and a very reassuring voice saying, just keep on doing what you're doing. Sort of the equivalent of keep on trucking, but a little bit more divinely inspired. And that comes back to me again and again. It's a part of me. Keep on doing what I'm doing. So then I go back to what are the first principles of what I'm doing? What are they about? Where am I going? And it's a blessing to have a partner in my life who thinks in such a similar way and in some ways more deeply than I. And it just makes for a really good life. So if you have some embarrassment about, you know, just wanting to embrace that there is a God, I have a very limited idea of what God is, other than I believe that God is real, and that God is really real, and that we can be inspired by God, and that God cares about us. And that we've been given gifts. These very simple things. It's more about what God gives us, I guess, than who is God, which I think is beyond comprehension. Well, I think I'm still on the air and being heard, although it's a little unclear with some little bleeping going on. And in the last 35 seconds, I want to just thank you again for listening to the show. I'm Peter Bregan, and just delighted, and I want to give a shout out to the platform that we are on a lot, America Out Loud. America Out Loud is a fabulous platform. It's a platform that is driven by inspiration. I'm on it, Leva Leet's on it, Peter McCullough's on it. So take a look right now at America Out Loud, and thank you for taking this show seriously.